This is the RightsCast Network, brought to you by Dandelion Web Marketing, Lost Lake Press, and Kill Your Darlings Candle Company, and always streaming at rightscast.net. The summer drags on, and with it, uncertainty around the world. At times like these, it can be hard to feel as though our stories are worth the time it takes to tell them, let alone the time it takes to write them. So to find solace and certainty within ourselves and within the walls of our homes to fuel the fires by which we write our creative destinies, the RightsCast Network would like to welcome you, the members of our global writing community, to share your story. Welcome to Episode 4 of Profiles in Encouragement, this new limited series in which we're turning to you to share your writerly stories of encouragement, your tales of overcoming writing-related adversity, and your journey to becoming a writer. Why? Because we're all in this together, and we can get through this if we lift each other up. Today's episode features Tracy S. Phillips, Lori Dennis, and Josie Thomas, who forwarded me these tales of comfort in February and March of this year. And listeners, before we get started, know we'd love to feature you in forthcoming episodes of Profiles in Encouragement. If you'd like to join us, stay tuned after Josie's story to learn how. But before we hear from Tracy with her story of encouragement, I'd like to share my own story with you. On the day after Christmas in 2017, it felt as though my life was destined to change forever. And it was, but not in the ways I might have anticipated when I first slid into my email inbox while on lunch at my place of employment. I remember reclining, my back against the soft cushion of the booth in which I sat, and taking in the first words of a new email again and again and again. After assessment of your submitted novel, Accounting for It All, I'm thrilled to offer you a contract for publication with Nine Star Press. Your talent shines through, and I look forward to reading more of your work. Even now, 3 years removed from that email, goosebumps rise on my forearms, but that emotion does not compare to the moment I first read that email. Tears welled in my eyes, and I had to dash into a stairwell, clutching my phone to keep my coworkers from thinking I'd received awful news instead of amazing news. I called my then-fiancé, now-wife, to share the news, but my voice cracked when she answered, and all I managed to get out was a very shaky, "I have news," before the call dropped. She called me back, worried, but once I shared my update with her, all that worry washed away. Then, with two more contracts for publication arriving in the subsequent months, it seemed as though my career as a published author was set to take off. We were talking book tour, conference gigs, interviews on radio, TV, and in the paper. It did not, however, work out that way. Now, a pox upon my name for any portrayal of my journey that insinuates I'm not grateful or extremely fortunate to have been in the position I was in. On the contrary, it's been my great honor to have found myself in this place. One can hardly complain about the unique joy of holding one's book in their hands for the first time, of speaking before a crowd and sharing one's journey from, "I think I have an idea for a novel," to becoming a number one new release on Amazon. But here's the thing. I deluded myself into believing that just because I wrote it, readers would read it. I promoted my books, of course, but not in any meaningful reader outreach kind of way. I convinced myself that tweets with buy links and pull quotes from New York Times bestselling authors would do the trick. I believed if I spent hours coordinating and scheduling a book tour around my home state, that my mere appearance in those places would be enough to drive out at least a handful of readers at each location, all of whom would be eager to hear from a fellow Wisconsinite turned author. If you're a regular listener to the RightsCast Network, however, you know that, in retrospect, I fondly refer to this book tour as the world's saddest book tour. I could go into extraordinary detail about how, despite the graciousness of the bookstore owners and my attempt to promote these events within their communities, nearly every stop proved to be an immense letdown. I won't dive too deeply into that now because, well, the details aren't as important as the takeaway. In the aftermath of the world's saddest book tour and finding my book sales dwindling, I was devastated. When award season arrived, I didn't bother submitting any of my books to awards for which they would have been perfect candidates. And months later, after winners were announced, readers contacted me confused as to how I hadn't at least landed an honorable mention anywhere. Folks, I cannot tell you how sad it made me to email those readers to tell them I simply hadn't found my books worth the time it would take to submit them. A year passed, another. The news increasingly began to look just as horrifying, if not more so, than the content of my books in my empathy sci-fi saga, Imminent Dawn and Morning Dove. The third book of five was due out in March 2020, and I rushed to get it ready in time for my publisher. If only I could make another big splash, if I could develop some positive momentum and find new readers, perhaps I'd overcome my hesitations about publishing a book of this nature during times like these. Then, 2 months before the book was due to be published, I pulled it. What was the point? If books one and two hadn't found the readership I longed for, how would book three suddenly churn that up? Besides, I was really disappointed with how, based on restrictions beyond my control, I couldn't write the third book I originally intended to write. So it faded. All of it. It seemed the Empathy Sci-Fi Saga was destined to fade away, unloved and forever incomplete. Months later, while scrolling through Facebook, I saw something about the International Book Awards. Immediately, my cynicism kicked in. Surely, none of my books were worthy, and besides, it was 2020. My books came out in 2018 and 2019, so there was no way they would even be eligible. As it turned out, curiosity overpowered cynicism, and I did some digging. Not only were my 2019 books eligible, it seemed my 2018 release was too. I'm not sure what overcame me in that moment. It was a Sunday afternoon, and we were long past the hours I should have allowed myself to work on the weekend. But part of me knew if I didn't fill out the entry forms and submit the other requested materials that very day, I would never do it. So I did. I kicked off all three entry forms, and that was that. Well, not entirely. I reread my entry forms and realized that, of course, I made several errors in the information I attempted to submit. Embarrassing. I swallowed my pride, however, and sent follow-up emails apologizing for my oversights and including corrected information. Not that it would matter. Surely these blunders, on top of my book's failure to gain the traction I thought they were worthy of, had already doomed my books to wind up in the honorable Unmention Awards. I got over my shame more quickly than I thought I would, though, and I soon forgot I submitted my books at all. Spring flowered and wilted, and summer rose over the horizon. By the time July rolled around, the International Book Awards were nothing more than a half-remembered dream. On the evening of July 22nd, however, I received an email. Congratulations. The results of the 2020 International Book Awards have been announced. Your book, Imminent Dawn, has been honored as a finalist in the science fiction category. Friends, family, writer folk, do not give up. Your stories are worth it. You are worth it. Every word you pen can mean something to someone someday, but for that to be true, you have to believe it first. You have to live it first. So thank you, everyone, for your support. Thank you for your reviews and encouraging emails and for sharing Imminent Dawn with family and friends. I'm ready now, I think, to get back into the Empathy Sci-Fi Saga. Because every writer deserves to write the story they're destined to write, and every story deserves an ending. All right, let's listen in now as Tracy S. Phillips shares her words of encouragement with us.
Hi, Ryan. This is Tracy S. Phillips. I'm calling to leave a voicemail about your profiles and encouragement sessions for the Writers Institute. So I wanted to just start by telling people that I began my journey 9 years ago, and that's when I first completed my first manuscript. And, you know, it didn't take me long enough to write it, but I was pretty sure that I had just written the next New York Times bestseller. So, you know, 9 years later, I still haven't sold that book, but I learned so much at the time about writing. And one of the first things I did after I wrote that manuscript was I signed up for the Writers Institute. And the reason why I did that was because I didn't know very much about the publishing industry. And, you know, when I looked through their roster of people in the industry and the classes that they offered on everything from editing to publishing traditionally and non-traditionally, and all that they offered, I knew that that was going to be a really good place for me to start. So at the Writers Institute, I got critiques for my work, and I took classes on craft, and I pitched my work and got more feedback so that, you know, when I went back to my work, I was able to revise it and submit it to agents and editors. But one of the most important things that happened at the Institute was that I met my tribe there. You know, I met people that were like me. I met people who were writing books and who spent all day at their computer imagining worlds that weren't real and imagining characters and trying to write novels. And you know, even though that manuscript didn't do anything, I was proud of myself, and rightly so. And I would say anybody that writes their, you know, a novel, 80,000 or 90,000 words, and they've told a story, and you should be so proud of that work, because it's hard. It's difficult work. But at the Writers Institute, you know, now that I'm a published author, I return every single year, because every year the industry changes and evolves. There's always experts from all facets of the publishing industry at the Institute, from editing to traditionally publishing, from self-promotion to online presence and website building. So every year I return because I want to stay up to date with what's happening in the industry. My first novel just came out in October of 2019. But, you know, I'm writing the next book and trying to get published with that book. And who knows, maybe someday I'll be indie published, or I'll have books that are self-published and traditionally published. But I won't stop going to the UW Writers Institute, because there's always something new to learn. And so that's what I just want to say. And I love the Institute. I think that you'll always find something awesome there. Thanks very much, and you have a great day.
Thank you, Tracy, for taking the time to inspire listeners with your encouraging words. Now we turn to Lori Dennis, who also has words of wisdom to impart.
This is Lori Dennis in Madison, Wisconsin. My story of encouragement is for writers who are facing self-doubts about things like, will I ever get published? Or maybe, what's the point of doing this if no one's ever going to read it? I have just published my first novel. It's historical fiction set in China. My protagonist is Zhu Yuanzhang, who was born in 1328, survived the plague in the 1340s, and founded the Ming Dynasty in 1368, becoming one of the most influential emperors in all of Chinese history. You've probably never heard of him, because he's not that well known in the English-speaking world, and I've been hoping to be a part of changing that. My book took me about 15 years to write, partly because, while there's not much in English, there is a vast array of materials in Chinese about the Ming founding, and I got pretty lost in those materials, especially the essay Zhu Yuanzhang wrote of his own life story. His essay was carved into stone and mounted on a pedestal. 600 years later, you can still see it where he had it placed, in northern Anhui province. This text didn't dwell on the glory in the founding of a dynasty. What Zhu Yuanzhang really wanted to get across was the story of his family and how much they suffered and the sacrifices they made for his survival. That really stayed with me, and I think when I saw his commitment to storytelling, it helped cement my own commitment. So there came a point when I felt I had a manuscript ready. I turned to local resources on how to publish. I went to the Spring Writers Institutes in Madison, and I learned how to write log lines and query letters. I pitched my book to a lot of agents, and eventually I signed a contract to publish my first book. My publisher is based in China, and the release date was set for February 1st. But as you know, the coronavirus hit China really hard, and everything was shut down at about that time, including printing presses. So my book spent the month of February languishing in a printing press somewhere outside of Hong Kong. As things started to open back up in China, my publisher arranged to print 50 copies of my book in Chicago and rushed them to me. They arrived at my doorstep on March 10th. COVID-19 caught right up with me, and my city started to close down to combat this virus. All my book events had to be canceled. I have to say, I had to deal with self-doubt at every stage of this book project. As I was working on the writing, I often doubted that I could pull it off and really finish a manuscript. I didn't think I'd survive the endless editing and revising that has to be done. I certainly did not think I'd ever find a publisher. So when I hit the totally unexpected hurdle of my book not getting printed or distributed, the self-doubts came right back out. This book project's never gonna work. No one's ever gonna read it. So there's two things that get me through these kinds of difficult moments. First is my commitment to my story. Writing is hard. However, I think it's worth the struggle because telling stories is so important. And yes, I know it's frustrating to feel like your story may never get read, but what really matters to me is that I tell the story that matters to me the best that I can and just focus on that. Second is my writer group. My book is what I hope will be the first in a series about the Ming founding, so I'm working right now on book two. We did not let the coronavirus get in the way of our March meeting. We just switched to a video format. I turned on my laptop on the appointed day and saw the little squares with the faces of my writers group looking back at me, doing what they've always done, telling me what worked, what was confusing, what needed revising in my latest draft. And they were presenting me with their drafts, which were also progressing and taking shape. And all that was uplifting. So in those moments of feeling like you'll never get published or your work will never get read, in those times of self-doubts, stay focused on the story that you need to tell. Get connected to writers who will take their work and yours seriously. That's how I counter self-doubts. Thank you.
Thank you, Lori, for sharing your story with us. Last but not least, it's time to hear from Josie Thomas.
Hi, I'm Josie Thomas, and I'd like to share my writing journey with you. I consider myself an over-the-hill spring chicken because it actually took me about 14 years to come up with a story. I couldn't even fathom the possibility of a decent manuscript. Then I thought, well, gee, how many years will it take to write a manuscript? Do I have what it takes? Am I good enough? You see where this is going. Don't do what I did. That is, don't doubt yourself or second-guess yourself at the get-go. I was my own obstacle to creativity. My fight was over before it even began. No wonder it took me 14 years to come up with the storyline. So I was inundated with a mishmash of words, phrases, and storyboards with stick figures. I couldn't make heads or tails of all these disorganized ideas that I put on 3x5 cards. It was like trying to put a puzzle together, how to connect the pieces. I decided I couldn't do this alone. Also, I am a recluse and an introvert, so reaching out for writing advice made me nervous because that put me out of my comfort zone. But reaching out started the journey that led to a completed manuscript. Our writing group was like a family type of environment because it provided positive support and encouragement. Writing shouldn't be work, shouldn't be a chore. Writing should be fun. And write every day, be it 30 words or 300 words, 3 minutes or 3 hours. Most importantly, find a good mentor that you feel compatible with, that you can connect with. A good mentor will work you to death, but the wisdom passed on is well worth the time put into completing a manuscript. A good mentor also helps you overcome those times you run into a brick wall. Hey, try coming up with an acronym that motivates you. For me, it was the word WRITE. W for wisdom, know yourself, know your story. R for revise, I for incredible, writing is an incredible journey. T for team, and E for endure. While it took 14 years to come up with a storyline, it took me 1 year to complete the manuscript. So that's 15 years dedicated to one project. I finished what I started because of the support group and one damn good mentor who wouldn't give up on me. So you want to write? Go for it. You'll have one hell of a journey. Just try not to take 15 years to complete a project. Well, that's it for me. Thanks for listening. Good luck and stay well.
Thank you, Josie, for joining us for this fourth ever episode of Profiles in Encouragement. And thank you as well to Tracy and Lori for having the courage to do the same. Now, listeners, it's your turn. The WritesCast Network is asking you, the writing community, to share your stories of writerly success, a writing-related victory over adversity, or your journey to becoming a writer. So how does it work? First, record a voice memo on your phone that embodies the spirit of community and encourages others or lets them know we're all in this together. Once you've recorded this voice memo, make sure it's no longer than 5 minutes in length. We want to maximize our ability to share as many stories as we can in tidy, bite-sized increments that pack a real punch. Once you've ensured your recording is 5 minutes or fewer in length, send the file to writescast@gmail.com. That's WRITESCAST@gmail.com. Don't forget the S in the middle there. After you've submitted your recording, I'll be in touch soon to acknowledge receipt. Remember, the best stories will be those that capture the spirit of the word community. Think along the lines of, if I can do this, so can you, or we're all in this together. I look forward to hearing from you at writescast@gmail.com. Until next time, this is R.R. Campbell signing off. Write on, write well, and take care. This is the WritesCast Network. Brought to you by Dandelion Web Marketing, Lost Lake Press, and Kill Your Darlings Candle Company. And always streaming at writescast.net.